You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to another edition of A Biblical Response. And we're going to be doing a biblical response to a rather important topic, at least for believers.
It's going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today. And I'm going to start introducing my co-hosts, and I'm going to do Keith last because Keith is going to open us up. So first, to my immediate left, not politically, thank God. Anyway, Ann Limoco. Sorry,
I had to throw that in. I can't get as far right as I can.
Yeah, I know.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ann. Good to see you. And this is a beautiful day. The Lord has made.
Yes,
right?
Let us rejoice.
Amen.
And be glad in it.
And just down from her seating location is Stephanie Jacobson.
Further left, right?
Further left. Only geographically.
Only geographically.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's good to be here today.
And I would say those listeners, our opener and our close are particularly dynamic because Stephanie's brother Lance was the person who recorded the content of those two, the open and the close. So I want to thank you. We have to have him on here with
us. One of these days we'll bring him in.
Bring him in, or maybe our Monday program. But
yeah.
And then, not last but certainly not in any category that is named least, is our good brother Keith Masters.
Well, thank you, David.
It's always great to have you here, brother.
Thank you.
His whole crew.
Always such a blessing to be here.
Anointed.
And I know I don't speak for myself. So
we're excited to be together. I think just to say, listener, if you've been listening to us to this program for a while, you'll kind of sense that there's an anointing that Spirit's given this whole team,
and
we give God the glory.
If we couldn't
make it happen, all we could say is, "Yeah, we'll do this," and then God took over, and He continues to do that. Now, Keith, you're going to kind of open up the focal point of our program today, so I'm just going to turn it over to you, brother.
Thank you, David. Yeah, the discussion and the topic for today is the presidential action, the executive order that President Trump did, dated from February 6th to 2025, and that was the executive order eradicating anti-Christian bias, and by the authority vested as President of the United States. And this is what it says, just so that everybody gets an understanding. It says, by the authority vested as President of the United States, it is hereby ordered to protect the religious freedoms of Americans and end the anti-Christian weaponization of government. Mm-hmm. And that's a mouthful just to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go back to that. But it also, I just wanted to read on a little bit more. And it says, the founders established, in which people were free to practice their faith without fear of discrimination or retaliation by their government. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that in 1964, we were talking about they took away prayer in the schools. Mm-hmm. So just another subject of something that's changed from the religious freedoms that we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, it continues on to say, for that reason, the United States Constitution enshrines the fundamental right to religious liberty in the First Amendment, which is, as everybody knows, the freedom of speech.
Amen.
And it goes on to say the federal laws like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, as amended, further prohibit government interference with Americans' rights to exercise their religion. That is huge. That is really, really big. And to finish up here with what it's saying, it says it prohibits religious discrimination in employment, while federal hate crime laws prohibit offenses committed due to religious hostility.
Amen. Now, as we're going to go on and talk about the Christian aspect, we have to recognize that being true to the First Amendment and the intentions of our founders, who were Christian, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this applies to all religions, not just Christianity.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
And it's reinforcing that the intention of the founding fathers, that you can practice your religious life without government interference. And we... And so I just wanted
to As long as you're not weaponizing it against someone.
As long as you're not weaponizing it. Right, exactly.
And that's what the whole point of this is, is the weaponization of...
Mm-hmm. Now, our focal point, we're all Christians here and believers, so we're going to be looking at it through that lens, but...
There was, and I just saved this off of one of the
they
sent out
X.
Right after right after President Trump signed this...
executive order.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That they were outside the Oval Office worshiping with faith leaders outside the Oval Office. So that happened like right away, right after that. Mm. So what are we looking at, and what does that do? How does that open the doors?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking at. What did God do with President Trump signing the executive office for the religious freedoms? So
now we have, first of all, it gets rid of the fear that many people may have had, because if you look at the executive order and you read the beginning of it,
right,
but then it talks about the acts that Biden did for the past 8 years that have basically discriminated against Christians. He said they were ignoring, the previous administration was ignoring violent anti-Christian offenses. So they squelched faith in the public square by bringing federal criminal charges against the pro-life protesters. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm looking at Stephanie because that's her heart.
Yeah.
Our heart too. And they convicted a Catholic priest and a 75-year-old grandmother and an 87-year-old woman and a father of 11 children who were arrested for praying and singing hymns outside an abortion facility in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So these are actions that have been done in the past 8 years. So, of course, as soon as this is signed, they're going to praise the Lord outside,
Amen.
You know, because we have freedom now.
And they'll be back at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have freedom now, like, to share the gospel, right? That's what we want to talk about. That's a huge focus of what we're going to be talking about
right.
today.
Amen.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that I was looking at as I was preparing for this yesterday and today is the history of persecution. So, you know, what is the history of the persecution against the Christians, and and how that plays into what we're dealing with today? And, you know, I'm just going to name a couple of these. You go back to the first century, of course, right after Jesus was here, you know, there was a lot of persecution going on because they didn't like the fact that there could be something more than he didn't come as a king like they thought that he was going to be, and this was just a nobody, right?
The Christians back then, the church had to disseminate all over, it, you know, it Asia and whatnot.
It seemed separated, didn't it?
Yep.
It seemed like it, and sometimes that's how I feel. Mm. I feel like I'm one in, you know, a billion people that it's the only one person, but we're not. We're not alone. And so the first century, you know, the early Christians faced severe persecution from the Roman authorities. I mean, that was a big one, Nero. And then, Emperor Diocletian. I never say his name right. One of the most intense and organized periods of Christian persecution occurred. Churches were destroyed, scriptures were burned, and Christians were forced to recant their faith or face death.
Right. And in the course of that is also in the recantation of their faith, they also had to worship the emperor and sacrifice to him.
Yep.
And if they would do that, they get a certificate of sacrifice. And that would restore them into their civic, or their cultural, their whatever rights and privileges they were given as citizens.
And I look at us here in America and the persecution that we feel that we've had, and I know that it's real. I mean, it's obviously there is something happening that's... The enemy has always wanted to silence the people that God has brought forward to bring the gospel into the next generation, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's been his since day one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we look at it as we're being persecuted, and we are, but it's overall been the whole premise of the enemy since the day, since before Adam and Eve. I mean, that was his thing in the, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to, excuse me. The byproduct of breathing is this. Anyway, it's nice to be able to point to one resource that we can, that's a fresh one actually, that brings together the all issues of persecution of Jews and Christians together, and that's Jonathan Cahn's most recent book, The Dragon Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And in it, he wonderfully and in great detail unpacks Israel's history, experience with persecution over time. But basically, if you boil it all down, and this applies not to Jews, obviously, but to Christians as well, because we're grafted in, as Paul says, in that wonderful olive tree that is the Jewish people, that basically it's spiritual warfare. It's because the devil hates the people who love God. That's the bottom line. Now, we can flurry it up, but we can flesh it out and make all these definitive and really substantial statements about it, but that's the heart of it. That's never changed since the Garden of Eden, right?
So I'm going to take it back even further than that.
Okay.
The Garden of Eden is where we know that it begins. I mean, obviously, the human race.
Yep.
But we're talking about before time began for us. The enemy isn't really after us. He really hates God.
Right, exactly.
So we are the image bearers of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
And so guess where he can get to? Us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the persecution for us in the United States seems like a real deal. But I look back in history and I think, and I'm not saying but, I think it can get worse. And I think we're going to see some things that we don't really want to see. Mm-hmm. However, we've got to remember the scriptures. I know that Key's probably going to bring some of these scriptures in, but it talks about the persecution of the saints. I can't open my computer right now, but it talks about the persecution of the saints, even, back in, we are persecuted because, I mean, Jesus was persecuted as well, right?
And there's different ways of being persecuted as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, persecution doesn't, even though the Romans went into the lion's den, you know, not everybody is persecuted in that way. And we just had, with the Super Bowl, we just had Lauren Daigle, who was scheduled, okay, as a Christian, she was scheduled to do the New Year's Eve celebration, I think back in 2020, right? And the mayor found out that she was a Christian and that she celebrated with Sean Foyt at a Let Us Worship event, right? So they canceled Lauren Daigle out. That is the persecution. She got canceled out.
Right.
It's a form of it.
It is.
And here's what the Lord says about that, because now she was allowed to come back in and sing at the Super Bowl that just happened.
That's the redemption, right?
And look at that, right? And this is what the Lord says. The Lord says in Jeremiah 30, verse 17, "For I will restore health to you and your wounds. I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast."
Mm. Amen.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Have you ever been called an outcast?
Once in a while.
I have. Yeah.
You know what? It's a privilege to be called an outcast.
At this point,
we don't want to be like the world.
We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And welcome back to Biblical Response. Man, we got on a roll quick. Thanks, Keith.
No.
You really got us going, and I love what Stephanie brought in toward the end of that first segment. And with that in mind, we're on a roll, so what direction is we rolling in?
Well, yeah, we were talking, we were discussing that persecution takes many, many forms. And it's... not only, and we were talking about the women that got arrested just standing outside mm-hmm. of the abortion clinics mm-hmm. and to continue on. You know, this is worldwide. The persecution is worldwide. Mm-hmm. And President Trump has come in and set a precedent for America. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, you were talking about when you were at the conference that your people from around the world were saying, as America goes, so goes the world, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is really, we're leading.
That's a good point.
Right? And it brings in, what is it doing? It's throwing the pebble into the ocean or into mm-hmm. the lake, right? Into the still lake. And as it goes outward, right?
That's good.
So, you know, that's who we are being right now. And everybody that is a Christian has to be able to sit there and take that authority that Jesus has given us and to be able to step forward because God has now opened that door.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good point. I always like to bring it back to the personal because we can talk as a country, we can talk as a nation,
right.
But no matter how the nation is going, we have to be responsible to what we know that God has called us to do, which is to bring the gospel, to bring it forward, whether we're being persecuted or not. But that is a really good point that the nation starts, it starts as that little pebble,
right.
And each person, right. Even listening to this broadcast, mm-hmm. is that pebble and gets to be in
their
circle
right?
of influence.
Yeah. Right.
You know, one of the things that... I hate to even say this, but I've been toying with writing this book, and I asked the Lord, why in the world would I need to write a book? I mean, there are a billion books out there, and I, as I prayed about it, and I know this is kind of off the subject, but it's not. I felt like the Lord told me, you have a circle of influence that nobody else does. It's unique to you.
Wow.
And if you don't do it, who's going to?
Mm-hmm.
And so even though there are a million books out there on abortion or, you know, pro-life
right.
or whatever
right.
it is, and whoever, whatever ministry that God has given to you personally, mm-hmm. that we now actually have the opportunity to write a book or to speak to someone else. And so with what President Trump did, it gave us that courage to say, okay, we can still do this. It was kind of a breath of fresh air, to be honest, because I felt like it was like, okay, all right. And I don't want to sit back on my haunches, though, and think, oh, well, everything's fine, everything's great. Mm-hmm. No, be obedient and mm-hmm. do what God has called you to do, which is to preach the gospel. That is the point of all of this, right?
Right, right. And that's going to 99 after the one.
That's it.
Right, because you don't know who you're going to affect. You don't know who God is going to have you affect. So with, I met a friend of mine, I met a brother, actually, for the first time, and his ministry is the 99 after one, right?
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, it is, isn't it? And that's really what we're doing when we go out and we share the gospel, because you don't know who you're affecting or who you're bringing back. I've been out on the street and there's been a lot of times when I've had conversations with people who have been going to church and they haven't gone in 10 years and the Lord is calling them back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you never know who or what your sphere of influence, where God has you, who you're going to interact with. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, you write that book, you don't know who's going to pick up that book.
That's true.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how many books there are.
Yeah, nope. I agree.
It just doesn't.
I agree.
You
know?
You're right.
You tell her, Keith. She's going to do that.
Yeah. I've now put it out on the airwaves. That is not
that
a good thing.
Accountability.
That is not a good thing.
But the point is that with the passage or the calling of these executive orders, it has created an environment
right
now where fear is not so much in people's minds, because in the last government, like I told you, people were so fearful. Now we don't have, I would pray that we don't have as the fear like we used to have. You know what I mean? That people used to have.
I think because, it brought it out into the open though.
Yeah.
I think we were so asleep before that. And I say we, I'm old, man. I've been around for a while.
I keep telling you, so, don't say
well,
that.
I know. But I'm just saying, I've up in years. How's that?
Okay.
And so I, you know, as a child, I didn't think about the fear surrounding, and I don't know that there was. It was kind of like there was a sleepy time,
mm-hmm.
And these past few administrations have given us cause to go, wait a minute, we're not sitting here in a vacuum on ourselves anymore. This is like, you know, the church needed to have more of a world view of what, a biblical world view of what's going on. And I think sometimes mm-hmm. even myself have stayed in my own little world and my own little, you know, domain and mm-hmm. said, okay, well, I'll be okay here. And mm. I can remember as a child thinking, well, there's no wars here.
Mm.
There's no wars here. And it's almost like you're asleep.
Mm.
But there was a war going on. There's mm-hmm. always a war going on. There's a spiritual war going
right.
on at all times.
We don't have a sense of the spiritual. I'm saying we, if you're a listener and you know you're into spiritual warfare, you know what's going on. Praise God. But a lot of people in the sound of our voices here, when we talk about spiritual warfare, and they're looking around saying, what?
Yeah.
What? Now, I'll speak as a pastor, because I'm speaking now as listening to pastors. Pastors, you're listening in. Some of you are going to say, man, I've been through that. Others are going to say, what? But you know, you got to be prepared, because it could happen to you. Now, back in the 90s, I was called to a church. At some point after you begin asserting your, you know, putting together, okay, why'd you call me here, God? And God will share that with you. And you begin to, as a pastor, you're going to be a leader. So you're going to start formulating plans that you and others that are going to work with you can execute, that are going to bring about God's plan for that church under your leadership. And it was after 6 months I realized that the vision that I'd been casting was not being received. In fact, it was upsetting the people. And as time went on, it became clear that I pursued that vision, of course, but it was met with great resistance. And I finally realized that maybe after I'd been there a year and a half, that it was met resistance because they did not want to hear from the God who owned the church and owned them, because they believed, and this is sadly unfortunate, but they had believed that they were running the church. And they didn't want to hear from God. And God had a very different plan for his church than they did. And it created tremendous conflict, and it brought myself and my family into the realm of spiritual warfare mm-hmm. of the kind. It started out, you remember the old movies, the old Frankenstein movies, where the populace and the hamlet around the castle finally had enough mm-hmm. of the Frankenstein monster. And so they attacked the castle with their burning their torches and their pitchforks, right? And you see this upset populace crossing the drawbridge to get to Dr. Frankenstein. Well, that kind of image began to coalesce for me, finally realizing God was showing me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was their response was not godly response.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that always start with looking at your own heart, though? That's the
yeah.
problem. I think that's in this nation, and person I'm speaking personally, is I have to look at what my influence is or my position is on something before I start talking to someone else. And yeah. and that's hard because
look
you
at the
don't,
speck in your own eye before you.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't always know all the details of what's going on. And I think that's the hard position we have right now is we don't know as a public all of the things that the administration is dealing with internally. Mm-hmm. We can only see the external and what he's doing right. and how he's, and that's like with you in the church, you know, you had a vision, but that vision wasn't, everybody didn't see that vision. So that's kind of what we are sitting on the outside of what Trump's doing right now, mm-hmm. going, okay, we're happy about this, but how's this going to affect everything around it? And it looks good, but is it good? And it will all play out. I mean,
It will, but it won't be always comfortable.
That's what we talked about that last week. It's not going to be always comfortable.
Getting back just quickly to the reason I mentioned that issue from my past is that the church has to be restored first. We need restoration. Many Christians don't realize that. Some do and are in the process, but they're facing the great challenges, sadly and often, from the people who have grown accustomed to a means of practice of the faith that is not necessarily mm-hmm. biblically aligned.
Mm-hmm. Where do we find the restoration for people, though, not though, like that are being persecuted today in mm-hmm. other countries? Mm. We find the restoration starting as a small little entity, and it grew and grew and grew, like in China. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that parts of China and parts of Africa are being restored. God is bringing restoration, and you didn't hear about it. It was very, in fact, there are some places even today that they don't dare talk about it, or they'll mm-hmm. be persecuted, mm-hmm. right? And so, but do they back off? No. Mm-hmm. They stay, you know, and that's kind of how we're going to have to do as well. Mm-hmm. Even though there may be a reprieve right now, we need to be aware and not just sit back and take this and go forward and be on the offensive with this instead of, I feel like we're a lot of times as Christians mm-hmm. defending. Mm-hmm. Now we do defend the gospel, right?
But now we're in a different stage though, right? It's where we can be
that's
on
what, yeah.
offense. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Well, you know, it's, how many times are we not, and I'll never forget this time when I was driving down the road, and I've spoken of it, where there was a semi in front of me driving down the road, and it was steel or aluminum backing on the back door, and you could see the reflection of the car behind the truck. Mm. And the only thing, the Holy Spirit was just telling me that I'm a reflection of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we've gotten to this point where what do we keep doing? We keep trying to, it's supposed to be our actions. And I can't say that it's always my actions that, you know, that I'm walking in the light of Jesus, because I'm just not, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as much as I try to, mm-hmm. as much as I try to. But instead of, I mean, sharing the gospel now to people who are, they're so antagonistic. Look at what's going on in the left. It's so antagonistic for everything that Trump is trying to do to right the ship, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So as we try to right the ship, the church was being quiet for so many years. That's how we got to this point. Mm-hmm. That's how we got to this point. And then what did everybody do? Everybody prayed for relief. And the Lord heard our prayers, and the Lord gave us relief. And this is with the executive order that President Trump just signed. It's an open door. It's an open door to step into at mm-hmm. this point in time.
I'm just reminded of how in the Old Testament, the Jews would always, like, whenever they're under persecution, they would pray and the Lord would send somebody.
Right.
Like a Samson right. or like
yeah,
a Deborah.
Right, yes, right.
That's what's
exactly.
happening now. Right. So the church cannot take their foot off the gas
that's
pedal.
That's right.
So
right. right.
I think
right.
we're going to a break. And then
yeah, we're
going
to go to a break and then we'll come right back.
Right. Because, yeah.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Lineken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back. We are now at the bottom of the hour, which is radio talk for 11:30. Anyway, welcome back to a Biblical Response, and we have been talking about President Trump's executive order that seeks to bring persecution of Christians to a close. And of course, that
So President Trump, what he did was he established a task force.
Right.
It's called the Task Force to End the War on Christians. And the people that are on this task force, we need to pray because it's members of Trump's cabinet and agencies. And I understand that Pam Bondi, the attorney general, is going to be leading this task force. We need to pray for these people because they are tasked to review. I think they're going to review like every federal agency, every federal department to identify and eliminate anti-Christian policies. So they're going to go like fine comb through everything like Elon Musk is doing right now with every department. So we need to pray for them. That's a huge job.
It is
job. And they have to produce a report to the president in 120 days is my understanding. But yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. It was, Keith, you had something you wanted to say?
No, I was, I was like looking something up.
Sorry. Well, you know, there's some people that may be wondering what all the foo-for-ah is about, but I always fly back to the
foo-for-ah. I don't know that I've ever heard that term.
You've never heard of that word?
Sorry, David, that one got me.
it's ruckus.
Okay, might be a common, I got what it meant, but yeah,
what's going on around the issue? Mm-hmm. And I know some people are still saying, what's the problem? I don't feel threatened. Well, maybe because you haven't been. But you look at some people that have. I want to go back to
where have these people been if they have not seen what has been happening the last 8 years?
Well, that's a good question. I've run into them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and when
even if you physically have not been threatened yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But it was all over the news what's been happening to Christians. You know.
The one thing that stands out, and we touched on it earlier, and that is there was in the pro-life under the heading of pro-life. This man and his wife and the they were praying near a abortion clinic, and they were ultimately arrested. I mean, they had an FBI presence in their home come and arrest them, and their kids were threatened.
11 children. He did this in front of 11 children.
11 children.
Father of 11 children.
And they came in not with guns blazing, but they were armed and they were presenting arms in this arrest situation.
And they did it 18 months after he prayed. Like 18 months.
But they made it a point to isolate this guy and what he did. But what he was doing is basically what Christians are called to do, and that's to pray, you know, and to seek God's grace and his guidance in the movement of his spirit and in egregious circumstances that you find around you. Here's the point is that if that does not qualify for religious persecution, I don't know what. It was so out there. Mm-hmm. It was so obvious, right? The fact that some people missed it, I would just say to them, where is your heart? You know, but there's a lot of people that aren't connected biblically. They don't care about God. They just care about themselves. But, you know, honestly, from a basic moral position, that even somebody, I question, where were you? Where are your basic morals when you saw that happening? When someone was just praying, you know? Now, the other side, you can say, well, yes, if you're following, If you're not following the Lord, you're following the one who hates him, then you do need to be afraid of prayer, because when Christians pray, mm-hmm. God's moving. And that says something else. But the point is, this is wrong.
Here's another thing that the Biden administration did. They sought to force Christians to affirm radical transgender ideology mm-hmm. against their faith. And what the Biden's Department of Health and Human Services did was to drive Christians who do not conform to these beliefs on sexual orientation and gender identity out of the foster care system. So you had parents who could not adopt if they did not affirm this transgender ideology. That's just plain evil. Plain evil. And we as a church we're the ones who are protecting America. It's like if the church falls, then America goes down. So it's important that, and I like that we're covering this topic today, because it shows how we as a church now have more rights, now are not in fear, and we mm-hmm. can keep religious liberty out there, because we still need to practice religious liberty. If we haven't been doing it before, but now we need to do it, now that the persecution is not as bad, because there's still going to be persecution.
So it's going to be persecution.
We can't keep that from happening.
No, it's going to continue.
What was the tax with President Biden, the special tax for mm-hmm. abortion that was going against the religious sector? And he was going to force everybody that their tax dollars had to go into the abortion mm-hmm. into abortion sectors.
Well, that's been going on for quite a while.
So why hasn't the church been doing anything? This is where the Lord has opened the door for the church to get a little bit louder, and with President Trump in the office, they might take that away. You know, they might shut that down. Mm-hmm. And actually, that would be something to look into. I would love
Didn't
to see
he do
what's
that,
going
Stephanie?
On.
There. Like he's taking no federal funds to go towards abortions anymore. Is something that's
been something from the first administration that he was in. I remember that. Plain as day, when he talked about signing that omnibus bill, he was not happy about it. Mm-hmm. The very first one that he signed, he said, "I will not do this again." And it was mostly because the Planned Parenthood had been funded in that particular bill.
Planned Parenthood, with everything that was going on through there.
Yeah. And I knew at that moment his hands were pretty much tied. Couldn't do much of anything at that point. But mm-hmm. he's made a lot of progress in that. I mean, obviously he's stepping out. And I think in the first administration, he was also very concerned with the fact that pastors weren't speaking out at mm-hmm. the podium and at mm-hmm. in their churches.
President Trump is calling, like I was in Palm Beach and he went to this summit for Turning Point Action, and he looked at all of us believers. He goes, "Why don't you guys vote the way you should?" Mm-hmm. He's calling us out, and good for him to call us out, because us Christians need to wake up.
Amen.
You know?
And if anybody wants to join in, the phone number here is 772-221-1100.
Okay, well, and
if we can get to the phone.
God bless you getting someone to answer the phone. We have no one out there. But if you want to call in, I'll strip off my headset and run out into the lobby and answer the phone.
David just raised his hands up, praising the Lord.
I think people may be confused. So right now we don't have somebody to answer the phone.
Right, this is a problem.
So perhaps we could send an email. If somebody wants
if
to make
you want
a comment.
To, I can turn on the computer and you can send an email.
I don't know why that was on my heart.
And you can do that by sending it wcno@wcno.com. Mm-hmm. That's wcno@wcno.com.
Right.
Now, if God has put on your heart to make a phone call, I will make the effort to go out of the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also running this live program.
Yep.
And I have to kind of be here to do that too. So
sorry, David.
So that's
sorry,
all right. No, it's all right. I understand. I'm encouraged.
My bad.
I'm encouraged. So let's face it. If God wants someone to call, you better call. I'll get the phones. No, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, and then that's right, because here we are. We're talking about stepping into the doors that the Lord is opening to start sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And with what President Trump has done with the presidential executive order. For no Christian bias.
You know,
eradicating.
I want to talk about natural law.
Let me, before you do,
okay.
I want to add, kind of expand on a point. I forget which one of you mentioned. There's one of you two ladies about the phrase that I heard was in terms of his executive order, more rights. That's how I heard it, and others may have heard it too. Actually, we're not getting more rights. The executive order is going to encourage us to exercise the rights we already have under the Constitution.
That's right.
Yep.
With a promise of less interference.
It says
less interference.
To protect the religious freedoms of Americans and end the anti-Christian weaponization.
Amen.
That's how it reads.
And so, as far as laws that we already have are rights, I apologize. Yep. God's moral law has already given us liberty.
Right, yes.
That's part of the natural law. So Trump has basically enshrined the liberty that was taken away from us. We've always had that right, but it was taken away from us unconstitutionally. So with what's happening with President Trump, he's enshrining the natural moral law that God already has given us. It's our right. Nobody should take that away. You
right,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
that should be worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be.
And the only reliable basis for sound government and just human relations is natural law. That's how our Constitution was founded, on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's enshrined in the First Amendment.
And where God has revealed that natural law to his people, the biblical foundations are what they wove into.
Yes.
Into the written documents that made America, or the Constitution and all the other documents that support it.
Do you think that they'll bring back the Pledge of Allegiance now, one nation under God?
I pray they do.
They're for the schools.
They do, yeah.
Wait, right? I think they're allowed to do that now, though, right?
They used to do that religiously.
I did that as a kid.
They did,
the
right?
Time.
Right. They did that religiously.
Really, that was a great word. Right, yeah. Yeah.
They did that religiously every morning. You guys did it, and I did it as a kid growing up in school. Was the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they disbanded it from the school, and now. Maybe did they put it back in where it's an elective? It's up to the school.
I think it's probably up to the school. Yeah, but again, those are any policies that restrict the constitutional rights that we have, the freedoms to exercise them.
Right.
Ultimately, are not durable.
Right.
They can be and should be overturned. Those policies should be changed. And if you'll notice what happens, what's been happening more so. In the last 4 years, where people's rights have been trampled, and they've gone to find relief in the courts, and ultimately, you can appeal to the point where those rights are restored. It's sad that you have to make the expense, right? You have to expend your own money,
very pricey,
or the money of your group or your church or whatever, in order to ultimately access the rights we already have. Under the Constitution, that have been repressed or suppressed.
It's backwards, David.
By the whatever authority we find ourselves under the thumb of.
Yeah. That's what our founding fathers did. They basically, because there was a tyranny, they had to go against a tyrannical government, and that's how our country was founded.
You know, there's got to be someone that wants to call in. So I'm just going to say, look, here's the number, right? Okay. You're going to grab your phone. And the number is 772-221-1100. I'm going to be looking. One of my ears is going to be, open to the lobby to hear that phone ring. I will run out there and transfer the call in. And Keith Masters is going to punch the buttons on the phone here, because that's already set up for him to do that.
I'm right
and
here.
And take the call. So you.
We're not going to worry about it, though.
We're not going to worry about it right now. But at any rate, please feel free, 772-221-1100.
Let me go to a quote from John Adams, our second president. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it, derived from our Maker. But if we had not, our fathers have earned and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. God has, as our Maker, given us this liberty rights that the president is just, we've already had them. It just got taken away, and it should never have been taken away.
Amen. No, never.
That's right.
Never
That's
have right. been taken away.
And I just killed the last break, so we're going right to the end of the program.
You know, with Discovery, as they're discovering all of the funds from the USAID, Department of USAID, with all of the money that's been going, it's been misdirected to all these transgender groups all around the world. And transgender is saying that God made a mistake. And God doesn't make a mistake because mm-hmm. He created you in the image of God as a man or as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who you are. And with all this money that is being disguised, it's being disguised, number one, mm-hmm. going into these different organizations. And this is where you have the uprising from the left.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're being discovered, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to tell you that God doesn't exist and that people are the people. I'm wondering, how do you think that you're a boy inside a girl's body, or how do you think that you're a girl or a boy? Yeah, a girl, a boy. Let me see. I get mixed up.
See, you're even mixed up talking about it.
I do. How do you think that you're a girl inside a boy's body?
Yeah.
I mean, for these guys that are going into the, how is that possible?
It's called deception.
It's called deception.
It's called
completely, Stephanie.
It's, right. Yeah, it's called deception. And this is right. And
it's not any worse than what I've done in my life. And I look at this and think, you know, sin at the foot of the cross is level.
Mm-hmm.
God does not, he's not a respecter of persons. He
right.
He died for every single solitary sin.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel for the deception that we are in this nation,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't, I want to be very careful as a believer to anybody that's listening. If there is someone that has something in their life that they're embarrassed or they're ashamed of or
struggling
whatever it is,
with, struggling.
Please go to the church. Please go to us. Please call us. I mean, we are here as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and I want to make that sure that everyone understands that there is a God that loves them,
mm-hmm.
and we are hands and feet of Jesus. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
Amen.
That is the people that are looking for a place to land. They need some place where they feel safe. And I'm telling you, the church is a safe place to go.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy would like to make us believe that we're not safe, that we are not safe for people that have had sins that are so unmentionable that, you know. But I'm telling you from experience that God does hear our cry. I want to mention something real quick. We were talking about, and I think you were talking about the ones that had been arrested in Michigan. I think there were seven of them.
I think I said Tennessee, but maybe there's other Michigan.
This woman that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. these are seven that Trump mm-hmm. Pardoned.
Okay.
They were found guilty for their involvement in a blockade of a reproductive health care clinic in Michigan mm-hmm. In 2020.
Mm-hmm.
One of those people was a woman by the name of oh dear, now I can't find her name. Mm-hmm. I was just looking it up. Let me look here. Hold on just a second. Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
We got a red light flashing.
Uh-oh.
I know, no. I checked it out.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Sorry. Okay.
Thanks.
Eva, I think, is her name. But she's 89 years old, and she had survived a death camp. And I can't even imagine. I mean, this woman was peacefully on the sidewalk, and this is the kind of discrimination that I don't get. I do not understand. I grew up with a young man in my church that back in the day, probably in the 70s, was fighting abortion, and he was arrested in North Dakota. And I believe it was 18 months put on house arrest for 18 months. This is back in the 70s.
Mm. Wow.
Early 80s. And so this has been going on longer than just the Biden administration.
Mm. Right.
This Definitely. Is something that the enemy has been fighting mm-hmm. for a long time, trying mm-hmm. to kill. But this woman, I mean, I'm going to go on and I did not know her story. I'm just now looking it up, and it's pretty pretty amazing. Eva at Edel, E-D-L. Mm-hmm. What an amazing testimony. But she was one that was pardoned. She had up to 10 years in prison.
Gosh.
And she was 89 years old. So
this is what they're chasing.
And where was the hue and cry when that happened?
Yeah, well, that's what she said. She was talking about Biden being, you know, pardoned for something because of his age. I don't even remember what that was, but I'm thinking, okay, did this woman not get the same treatment as our president? You know, she's a citizen of the U.S. now as well. So
yeah, that was for him putting his files in his garage.
Oh, that's it. Yes.
So he got right.
I forgot about that.
Right. Yeah. So classified information.
Right.
So as vice president, he wasn't really technically able
right.
to take those out of his
right.
office.
Right. Yeah. But the evaluator said he can't. He wasn't stable enough to be prosecuted for that.
You know, if I could bring this
back. That was the President of the United States. This is the deception that the left gives us.
It mm-hmm. is.
On every front.
If I could bring this back to the church, though, you know, as the church, we should be saying, come as you are, not stay as you are.
Right.
So we want you to come, but there is change. When Jesus comes into our heart and our life, there is change that happens. And like we talked about before, Christianity has been the center of persecution since the beginning of time. And some of the ways that Satan tries to destroy the church from the inside out are things that we deal with on a daily basis. So division and discord among the members, false teachings and doctrines, hypocrisy and moral failings among the church leaders, lack of spiritual growth and maturity, neglect of prayer and spiritual disciplines, and pride and self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. Those are just six different ways that we can personally look at ourselves and go, what is it that we need to do so that others around us can know who Jesus is? And I'm just thankful for the administration at this point.
Yeah.
I know I've got people up there personally that I know that are doing things on a national level that I never thought would do it. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, I knew that person back when, and it's like, how does that happen? But it's normal people who have been put into a situation that we're asking them to lead, and they stepped into that space, and we need to be able to pray for them at this point because we're going to be underneath, you know, whatever they put forward, and hopefully God is leading and discerning. They are discerning things. I know that we get upset with people that are in legislative
positions.
Yeah. And I want to be able to pray for them today and ask God to give them strength, because that is not an easy place to be.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. To grow strong in the word. To grow strong in the word, and as you were talking about, Stephanie, as the Lord is moving them, to pray for those that are moving in the Lord to expand in as the Lord leads them. Mm-hmm. As the Lord leads them.
Yeah.
But as Christians that you don't sit idly by as the Lord opens this door with this. It's a big population. It's a big population.
We have to pray for the people who, like Stephanie spoke about, who are also surrounding President Trump, under President Trump. I pray for wise counsel for President Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm talking Christians who are in the Word, like you said, Keith, who ask for wisdom and hear from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And also, I pray for people who may have been placed there that are not supposed to be there. Moles, you know what I mean? Like people who, you never know. Like. Yep. They'll try to get people to misdirect the president.
Amen.
And we pray for President Trump's walk as well and his walk with the Lord.
Amen.
We have to do that. So it's important. That's how we should end the broadcast today. Do you guys agree?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
It's interesting how God brings people. I mean, it's just amazing to watch him mold this nation,
mm-hmm.
and go back and look at the history of this nation,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously going back all the way to biblical times as well. But mm-hmm. Looks like we've got a caller.
We've got a caller. Look at that. Hello, you're
welcome.
On the air.
You're on WCNO.
Yes, I'm blocking your show is. I'm 78 years old, so I fled New York State because of the vulturing taxes. The Democrats ruin every state. They all they do is tax people, and then they let the infrastructure go to rack and ruin. That's what I call New York Hochul's hellhole, by the way.
I came from Chicago.
You may not be the only one.
It's Cuomo land, but it's Hochul's hellhole now. And they just have this thing now with the taxes. You go in the city and they have cameras everywhere so that, you know, $20 go around the block. Because, you know, they let the infrastructure go for so long, and because of the criminal neglect of the infrastructure, which is why I like Florida. I mean, we have DeSantis and they have Hochul's hellhole, but what a difference. we live in the free state of Florida, and we don't have the Democrats, and they're blaspheming. And Hochul's a Catholic, another reprobated Catholic. This is what freaks me out. Hochul's a reprobated Catholic, and Pelosi, reprobated Catholic, Biden, reprobated Catholic. He tugs a rosary around, which is blasphemous. I don't know why Murray would want to have anything to do with that bump.
Mm.
I'll talk to him about anything. what has happened? And I remember 78. I remember when abortion came in 73, this country changed overnight. Mm. It kind of changed overnight. The demon activity that abortion brought it, they don't talk about that. The amount of demonic activity that came in overnight because demons love, you know, shedding innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the murder rate went out of control. Of course, the stupid Supreme Court got rid of the death penalty in 73. That was another idiotic thing because that's another, the Bible's very clear in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence on an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set, and then they do evil continually. So we have a feminized criminal justice system in New York, and of course, they're trying, all the larcenous law schools are trying to push this now, no death penalty, and let's cry the crocodile tears for the murderers and all this.
Yeah.
And you're not safe. That's why, thank God, I live in Florida, and we have good infrastructure here.
And who is it that we're talking to that lives in Florida?
This is John.
Oh, okay.
John, where do you live?
John.
Where do you live in Florida?
I'm on Orchard Island. I live off here, an island off Vero Beach. It's transcendental where I live. It's incredible. It's very beautiful.
You're up in my wood.
Island, and all I hear is airplane noise, and the Florida Railroad checking late at night, some across the Indian River.
Sure.
I'm very blessed to have gotten down there, and I got a place here because I bought the dilapidated house. It was dilapidated when I bought it, and that's why I lowballed the guy and got it. Because now it's worth, the property's worth probably $1 million.
Thank you for listening, John.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the show. So you're enjoying it?
So I love, you know, I love your station, and this, these anointed people you have. And the reason, you know, the one guy, both of you, but the one guy was talking about tire pressure. One of his talks, and I freaked me out because I'm a big hot rodder, man. Anybody who talks about cars, immediately I perk up.
That could have been Keith.
Talking about tire pressure.
Did we talk about tire pressure on today's program?
No, not today. It was late. Yes,
that was a past program. But that thank
was,
you for listening.
But that was, the Lord, I had a flat tire and I put the car on the grass, right? And I couldn't change the tire. I had so many problems. Then I'm on the turnpike a little while later, not that same day, but like a couple of weeks later, somebody's over there on the turnpike trying to change their tire on the grass. I pull over to help them, and because now I know they can't change the tire on the turnpike. And the Lord put it on my heart to get over there.
John,
and
thank
help
you for remembering
them.
That story.
So the Lord had me get a flat tire, try and change it on the grass, and then he brought me over to somebody who was doing the same thing, and they were so thankful that we moved the car over to the cement.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a while ago.
Great call.
I have to break in here because we're almost out of time, John.
But John, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for calling. You know, and down the road, man, if something is said or not said that gets you excited, give us a call.
God bless you, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. God bless.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So great. Well, thanks. Great to hear from John. I wish we had more time, but time is now gone.
John was excited.
Yeah, I was excited. And I'm excited that he is excited. Yeah. Great to hear from
him. Can we do a quick prayer for those in government?
Actually, or do we have no time.
All right.
I wish we could pray after the show.
See you next week.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David at A Biblical Response. Remember, when you were